So it's evening of that first Easter day. The tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene has already come back with her testimony, "I have seen the Lord." And where do we find the disciples? They are shut and locked in a room because they are afraid. Every year on the Sunday after Easter, we hear this story again. It's often called Doubting Thomas Sunday, which means, whether we say it out loud or not, this is a day dedicated to people like us, people who have questions or who might struggle to believe. We're not always sure what to do with the resurrection. Fear and doubt often live in the room with us. So the disciples are shut up in a room together because of their fear. What do we think they were afraid of? The text says, "for fear of the Jews," and I don't want to dwell here, but I think it's important to address any time our scriptures can be construed as anti-Semitic. What is meant here by the Jews is not all Jews. The disciples and Jesus himself were Jews, right? So no, what is meant here is probably the religious authorities who precipitated Jesus' death. They might be afraid that what was done to Jesus, their teacher and their friend, could be done to them. They might be afraid because everything that they had hoped for seems to have come undone. And I'm guessing that this doesn't sound so strange to many of us. We know pretty acutely what it's like to live in a world that feels chaotic. We know what it is to carry fear for ourselves and the people we love. We carry fear about what the future holds. We know what it is like to feel locked up, not necessarily in rooms, but in our own hearts and minds. And let's take note that the text shows us right away that the disciples are not failures because they are afraid. They are not deficient because they are doubting. Just that morning, Mary had told them, "I have seen the Lord." Do we think they believed her? Maybe we should stop being so hard on Thomas, because he's not the only one who struggled to believe. Let's hear the story. John tells it this way. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Into that locked room, Jesus appears. The disciples didn't open the door. Jesus just suddenly is standing among them. Locked doors can't keep out the risen Christ. Fear cannot block God's presence, and doubt does not disqualify you from grace. Even when we are locked away, God finds a way in. The first thing Jesus says is not, "Why didn't you believe?" or "You should have known better." He says, "Peace be with you." He speaks directly into their fear and doesn't require their understanding or insist that they get anything right first. He just gives them peace. And then he shows them his hands and his side. The wounds are still there. And that means the peace he offers is not a denial of what has happened. He's not pretending everything is okay. The peace he offers is not the kind of peace the world gives that only exists when everything is calm and predictable. This is a different kind of peace. It's a peace that exists in the presence of wounds, in the middle of chaos. This peace says that even here, even now, God is still at work. And then Jesus breathes on them. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's such a physical, earthy moment. You can almost feel it. It echoes the very beginning of creation when God breathed life into dust. It echoes the vision of the valley of dry bones when breath entered what was lifeless and made it live again. That's what's happening here. These disciples are bone weary. They're exhausted, grieving, and afraid. And Jesus breathes life back into them. He gives them peace and the Holy Spirit and a purpose. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In other words, don't stay locked in this room. Take this peace and carry it out there. But we know that Thomas wasn't in the room at that time. And when the others tell him, "We have seen the Lord," he can't believe it. Can you blame him? Imagine being the only one who missed it. The only one without this life-giving and sustaining gift from God. Of course, he says, "Unless I see and touch his wounds, there's no way I will believe it." I don't think he's being difficult. He's being honest. He's naming what so many of us feel but are afraid to say out loud. "I want to believe, but I need something real. I need something I can hold on to." And if this Sunday is dedicated to doubt, it's not because doubt is something to rush past. Rather, it's because doubt is one of the places where Jesus meets us. And the good news, when Jesus comes again, he doesn't shame Thomas or scold him or exclude him. Jesus gives Thomas exactly what he asked for, exactly what he needs. He invites him to see and touch his wounds. Thomas receives the grace that he needs. And then Jesus says something that reaches all the way across time to us. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Our second scripture today comes from 1 Peter. It is written to people like us, those of us who have not seen, we who live in a difficult world trying to hold on to faith. Here's what it says. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You love him though you have not seen him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. How else could we say this? Sometimes I get hung up on the idea of right belief. Is God just looking for my mental assent to the correct ideas? I'm not sure that's it. I think we could say that we trust Jesus. We hold a deep confidence in him and his saving work, however that is accomplished. And we are receiving healing and wholeness. Not just someday, but even now. That is the living hope that 1 Peter speaks of. This hope lives and endures even in the middle of trials and chaos. So our question becomes, how have we seen the Lord? We didn't stand in that room with the disciples. We've not been given the opportunity to touch Jesus' wounds as Thomas was. So how do we know? Maybe we have seen the Lord in moments of unexpected peace when everything around us said we should be falling apart. Maybe we have seen the Lord in people who carried grace to us when we needed it most. Maybe we've seen the Lord in small resurrections. When I drive my daughter to school in the morning, we pass a lot of fields and roadside patches of grass, and this week, they were empty and lifeless one day, and then after a night of rain, suddenly they were covered in white rain lilies. Life where there was no sign of life before. These seemingly small signs are everywhere. And maybe others come to see the Lord through us, through the way we carry peace or practice forgiveness. Maybe they see the Lord through the way we love in a world that so often chooses otherwise. Right now, the world is not short on chaos, amen? But it is starving for peace, not shallow or pretend peace, but a peace that walks into locked rooms and stands among the fear, acknowledges the wounds, and still says, "Peace be with you." We must try to learn to carry both doubt and peace, grief and delight, sadness and joy. Yes, our president spewed genocidal threats this week. I won't repeat those words here. I imagine most of us know what they are. But also this week, a team of four brave souls completed their trip, circling the moon, showing us things no human eye has ever seen before. And here is part of their reflection, looking down at Earth from such great heights. You don't see borders. You don't see religious lines. You don't see political boundaries. All you see is Earth. And you see that we are way more alike than we are different. So I want to invite you, as we close, into something simple and embodied. Jesus didn't just speak peace, he breathed it. So I invite you to breathe. Take a slow breath in and breathe out. Again, breathe in and out. The same breath that filled the lungs of those first disciples, the same spirit that brought life to weary hearts, fills you right here, right now. And with that breath, hear these words: "Peace be with you. Things are not easy or certain, but Christ is present." Amen.